Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, Brad, committee of the Faulkner Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Faulkner Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 169.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at W4VA.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for all licensed hams, FARA members or not, for general discussion and Q&A regarding technical discussion regarding topics such as radios, antennas, computer operations, circuits, et cetera, anything related to amateur radio activities. We also welcome short announcements regarding ham radio-related equipment wanted to buy or sell. If you're a member of FARA, please also use the clubsgroups.io forum to post full details of your items. The only announcements that I can think of off the top of my head tonight are the club meeting is coming up on November 13th. We will have a special guest from our local ARRL representative. Kevin might have a better handle on that. I don't have a summary of what he's going to be discussing with us right at the moment, but that'll be the 13th. And then, of course, I guess the club breakfast on the 29th. No, I shouldn't say the club breakfast. You know what I mean. The last Saturday of the month, victual get-together at the bistro there in the hospital in Warrenton, starting at between 8 and 9, whatever time works for you. People hang around, and apparently they're getting a lot of good attendance there, and everybody enjoys getting together that way. I was read through the ARRL news this week, and quite frankly, I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that was of interest to read tonight, but I refer you to that if anyone's interested. Let's go ahead and take check-ins, and I do have a topic, but let's take check-ins first tonight. This is N7IVV calling for general. Anybody, I didn't notice, anybody on Echolink or mobile, call now. Okay, general check-ins, please call me now.
November 4, X-Ray Charlie Hotel, no comment.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Yankee X-Ray, no comment.
K2PI.
Charlie November, evening Brad.
W4RKU.
J3FR.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
Kilo Delta 4, Sierra Victor.
N2NAR.
No comment.
K04VNZ.
K1RA.
Okay, well, fingers are not doing me a lot of help tonight. Let's see how lousy I screwed this up. X-Ray Charlie Hotel, Robert, good evening and welcome. KO4WYX, Matt, good evening. K2PI, Harb. Steve, I fumble-fingered your call. You're going to have to come back with it unless I can fix it before you come around. W4RKU, K3FR, KD4SV. Dave, I've been thinking about you. Hope your things are going well. N2NAR, Mike, KN4SPL. Let's see. Jeez. Fingers really are not working right. KM, that's what it is. It's KM4, standby. KM4. Okay, hang on. K1RA, the young lady who I just totally messed up the call. Give me your call phonetically, please, and 7IBB.
Is Kilo 4 Mike Yankee Lima?
Okay, Michelle, thanks. Let's see. It's WD8QCN, right, Steve?
Brad, I guess you're pitching it over to me?
No. I just was trying to remember Chuck's call because I must have deleted exit. Accidentally. Okay, let's see where we are. K4XCH, KO4WYX, K2PI, W4RKU, K K3FR, KD4SV, N2NAR, KN4SBL, P1RA, KM4OZH, K4MYL, WD8QCN, and KO4VNZ. Anybody I missed, corrected, corrections. Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Victor Foxtrot.
WB7RAV, no comment.
KN4MLX, no comment.
Mark, TQ4CVF, Randy, WB7RAV, and you've been going to have to give me that last one phonetically because I got apparently every version that I can put in here wrong. KN4, give me again.
Kilo, November 4, Mike, Lima, X-ray, KN4MLX.
Okay, Janice, thank you. Okay, Mark, Randy, and Janice. All right, with that, let's go ahead. I have a discussion topic. I was going to bring it up last week, but we had nothing but dead air last week for the net. I'm sorry, Steve, I was just thinking about you. But anyway, my query is, I wound a transformer that had all kinds of windings on it. And it got me thinking, okay, I know how transformers work. I know how inductors work. But this one got me a little stymied. Simple. It's just a ballon. And I believe it was a 36-to-1 ballon. So the secondary winding, which went on first, now went on a toroidal core. Ferrite core, toroid, you know, donut shape. Doesn't really matter the diameter, but it was, I don't know, 1.5 inches, 3/4 inches diameter, something like that. Maybe 3/8 of an inch or so in thickness. 12 turns on this inductor, on this core. The turns only took up about the bottom half. For whatever reason, that was the design specification of whoever designed and built this thing. So 12 turns of wire around just the bottom half of the toroid, and then the primary was only 2 turns of wire that were basically right next to each other, but they were at the 6 o'clock position on the core, the toroid. The secondary coils were from 3 to 9. Okay, so that bottom half, and then the primary coil is there, the 6 o'clock position. And so I got thinking, all right, how is this working? Because the electrical energy, I thought that the coils kind of had to be more closely connected to each other, you know, located. I'm sorry, I'm really having a hard time talking tonight. More closely located to each other, you know, as in, the primary should be wrapped as much as possible over the entire secondary windings. I suppose the core doesn't make much difference, but if it doesn't, why wrap it on a toroid as opposed to a straight ferrite type of a core? So really, it's more of a question. It's a question because I ain't got a clue. And somebody who's got smarter brains than somebody who's got bigger brains than me will have to discuss that. So, that's that. Of course, today, this morning, we had a Fox on, told me interested to hear a report on that. Sorry, I couldn't make it, folks. Anyway, N4XCH, X-Ray Charlie Hotel is the first one on the list tonight. So, welcome, Robert. I don't think I've had you on the net since before now. So, say hello, and maybe you have an answer for this one. Go ahead.
Hello, all to the net. Actually, I was no comment in and out because I'm driving around and picking up food from our parents. But and I do not have any help on the question. But I hope you all have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Robert, thank you. I didn't catch the in and out, but thanks for coming back and saying hi. Enjoy your dinner. KO4WYX, Matt, I didn't hear you say in and out for a change. Are you with us tonight? Go ahead.
This is KO4WYX. I am here listening and enjoying everybody. Haven't done much. I was traveling a little bit this week or for work. I did jump into and playing into some DMRs, and I'm trying to. I picked up a DMR handheld like 2 weeks ago, and I started playing with that. That's all I got going on in the ham world, and I got nothing else for you guys, so this, I'm going to kick it back to Nick. Nick, this is KO4WYX.
Okay, Matt, thank you. Just to clarify, I do know how a transformer works. I was a little surprised at how the windings were spread out and whatnot, and so, and also for the benefit of those on the net tonight that might not be too firm on how a transformer works. I know Harv can give us a good input on that. So anyway, K2PI and 7IVB, go ahead.
Yeah, and 7IVB and the net from K2PI. I'm not really sure I understand the question, Brad, but I'm not the technical wizard you might think I am. I think that the interaction, the inductive coupling between the two windings, is strong enough on a small core like that to be enough. All you need is for the fields to interact, and that's really essentially how it works. I think the coupling between the two cores, between the two sides of the core, are exactly the same as they would be in a transformer. And there's, you know, certain interactions between those windings that make it right. What I didn't understand was you said the first winding was at 6 o'clock, and then you said the other winding was from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock, which would mean that they would overlap. And I think you meant something different. I think you meant maybe the first winding was at 6 o'clock, and the other one was from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So that's the best I can give you there. Unless there's dramatically low currents and it's a dramatically big toroid, there's enough inductive coupling between the two windings to make it work. It's not Maxwell's equations, but that's generally how I understand it to work. Anyway, nice to hear everybody tonight. I worked a little bit in the CQ Worldwide sideband contest this weekend. Totally QRP, 5 watts with my new IC705, really gave it a workout. And I got 62 countries in working through that, and it's pretty happy with being able to make as many QSOs as I did, since the conditions were sort of depressed on the first day. Also, it was a great opportunity for my daughter Michelle, K4MYL, to check out her new call, which was issued on Saturday morning. So she got on as well and operated in the contest, and got a fair amount of the X contact. So I'm pretty proud of her and happy that was her first real phone contest. Back to net, N7IBV, K2PI.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations to Michelle on the new call. That was part of what threw me, because I kind of recognized the voice, but I was expecting another letter there in the prefix. So congratulations. By the way, this is a Balun, and I think this Balun was designed for 100 watts. But since W4RKU owns the silly beast, I'll let him talk about it. N7IVV, go ahead, Kevin.
N7IVV, this is W4RKU in the net. Good evening, Brad. Thanks for doing the net tonight. Standby one. First, before I forget, the presenter at the next meeting is going to be a gentleman from the ARRL section manager, Jack White. He is going to give us a presentation on, I believe, Winlink and how that all works. He is the Virginia section manager. So he'll get into all that. So I would say that would be a good meeting to attend. As well as we need nominations for board members on the side. What Brad's referring to is I bought a little kit, the QSO Today Ham Radio Expo had a presentation on EdFez, which is what I use, and these guys were discussing different ratios and different design aspects, and one of the things I found out from it was that they use 36-1 versus like a 9-1 or a 49-1, because there's no reactants created or something like that. And also to wrap you do wrap the primary around the secondary two times, and most NFAPE kits they only wrap the primary on the end of the secondary, one end of the secondary. And what Brad was trying to explain is that on the way they want you to do it is to wrap the primary around the center of the secondary to get better performance. And Brad kindly did this because I could not do it myself for me. And it's been up at my shack, and it has been working. I haven't noticed anything, a big difference, but, I have the conditions have been bad too, so, I mean, every time I've tried to use it, the conditions have been bad, and it's not exactly like it's an easy swap in and swap out, where I can just unplug one and plug in the other, it's kind of hard to compare like conditions, but, so far it's been performing good and been working on CWT fine. And lastly, I participated in the fox hunt today. I will say that I want to thank Mike and to NAR for being very creative today with the foxes. He employed two foxes today. Once you found the first one, it directed you to a second one. A little crafty rabbit there. And it was great fun, but I actually ended up being able to find a second fox because I saw K1RU and K1HTV standing there in the Foster's Grill parking lot, and I was like, they must have found me in. And sure enough, they did. And I actually found where it was hidden on my own. So I think I've prattled long enough. Back to you, N7IBD, W4RCU, back to next.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. I've been busy with stuff other than ham radio pretty much this whole last week. I've got an audio project I've been playing with that's taken up most of my time. And so I haven't really done much on the air with radio. Anyway, as far as Jack White goes and AWRL and WinLink, I believe that he's attached to FEMA. If it's not FEMA, he's very, very, I'm pretty sure it's FEMA. He's very much involved in the recovery, relief, hurricane relief operations and whatnot. He's actually been out of town more than he's been in town this summer and fall, dealing with the aftermath of Ian and whatnot. I'm thinking that WinLink is something that they use a lot for that, but I may be adding more to what he's going to say that isn't true. But anyway, that's kind of some background. KD4SV, Dave, how you doing over there? Go ahead, N7IVV.
I'm doing fine, Brad. I moved here recently to White Springs senior care facility because my wife was here. So I sold the house I lived in for about 30 years over in the other part of town. Anyway, just wanted to say hello. I'm getting ready to move again, this time to South Carolina. And I'm sitting here with a lot of stuff. So on Wednesday night, I'll get on and list some of this stuff for sale. You know, I have a lot of radio transceivers and got a nice several antennas, whatever. So anyway, I'm looking forward to going to South Carolina, mainly moving because my daughter's going to be living in North Carolina, close to Myrtle Beach, where we'll be going. So anyway, that's the story here. So back to Net Control, KD4SV.
Well, okay, very good, Dave. I'm going to miss you. Miss you here quite a while. You haven't been able to get out, so I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, you can get to the meeting before you leave. But if not, we bid you a fond farewell. And I've seen some of Dave's gear. It's pretty new. So anyway, we'll see what kind of list you got. See what we can do to help you out and profitably getting rid of your equipment there before you leave. And don't forget, if you don't have an Echo Lane connection, please get that so you can still stay in touch with us down there when we get on the nets and just on the repeater in general. K3FR, Ron, what you up to tonight? Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Brad and the group. This is K3FR. Yes, very good to have seen everybody Saturday morning. Had a good breakfast turnout there. I think Rich probably took the count of how many attendees we had, but it was a nice, rich group of folks there. and also for the Fox Hunt today, good group of people there. I, too, also found both foxes. I got to give a hat tip to Barbara, though, that she was a little bit loud when she found the first fox, and I was standing there. So, but I was headed in the same direction, so I would have essentially fallen on it within about 35 seconds. I ended up over at Foster's on the look for the first fox, and Rich and Andy were there looking to see if they could find it in a bush, and of course it wasn't in the bush. I quickly realized that they were looking for the second fox. So I said, "Okay, I'm out of here. I'll see you when I find the first fox." But we had fun with that. Also, hat tip to Andy with a bit of help from him, and also me reading a couple more paragraphs into the N1MM manual. I now thankfully have both the 7100 and the 9700 playing as a full-blown SO2R configuration. So I'm happy with that. I can work two bands at one time now and interleave the QSOs on it. Of course, I have to be careful that I do the interleaving, and once we start up the sequences, N1MM and WSJT could probably basically take care of that. Okay, now for the Balun. The Balun, the Balun, the Balun mystery. Why wind it on a toroidal core? Well, the toroidal core does exactly the same thing as the iron core in a transformer. It increases the field density or the field flux inside the core by increasing the permeability of the core. So you end up having higher ampere turns, and you're able to pass a lot more energy through the through the transformer, and that's basically what the toroid Balun is doing. It's acting as a transformer, it also allows you to have fewer turns. You get more inductance per turn, basically, when you're on a core, a ferrite core. Of course, it could be on something like brass or copper, and then you'd have less because the permeability is negative of those materials. Okay, why wind it in the middle? Why wind the primary in the middle? That's so that the common mode currents on the outside of the Balun are canceled, and you end up with zero or very small common mode currents going back down the outside of the coax and into the shack. I don't know. Is there another question that you had on that, Brad? I'm digging really deep because, actually, I love capacitors a lot more than I did inductors, and AC theory, I had a lot more fun in DC electronics or electrics in college than I did in AC. But I did kind of get the hang of it. So if you have if there was another question as to why something was, oh yes, the spacing. That's controlling the capacitance between turns, and also again helps to excite the flux density in the core, which is why it's wound halfway around. As you start spreading out the coils, you start changing the inductance, and of course on the Balun you're trying to control that too. So that's why it was basically tight wound, and then again the tight wound primary over top of the secondary. I think that's about 99% of your questions. If there's another one, please let me know. I'll try to come back to you. And 7IVV, KE3FR.
No, actually, that covered it very well. I guess the only clarification, and we can leave it for later, but I'm assuming that the toroidal shape helps wrap the flux field around more than a straight one would, which gives you more, it just works better. So that must be why you're doing it on a round toroid there. This is why, I know a little and I can guess a lot, but it's usually just easier to follow somebody else's instructions. I certainly couldn't design this stuff on my own without still needing a lot of extra coaching, I guess. And, a lot of it is it's just math. You just got to put the right formulas in the right place. And if you know what you need, you know how to get there, then I guess that's 90% of the battle. But thanks for that information there. And to NAR, Mike, thanks for the Fox on today. I'm sorry I missed it. Why don't you give us a review of what you did, how you did it, where you did it, because I don't know what you did and how you did it. I'm curious. N2NAR, N7IVV.
N7IVV, N2NAR in the group. Yeah, I'll talk about the Fox Hunt because I have nothing on your ballot. So we started out with the first Fox. Everybody met in the Ace Hardware parking lot off of Broadview in town. And the first Fox was hidden under a tree off the parking lot in the wharf. And I was very impressed on how fast Andy pulled into the parking lot because I was hidden watching. And his Kraken definitely worked, but I'll let him talk about that. So yeah, he pulled in quick. And then shortly after, most everybody else followed. And then when you found the first fox, I had a note there that gave the frequency of the second fox, which is hidden conveniently right by Foster's in like a little newspaper stand outside break. And this way we could go inside and get some lunch afterwards. And I think almost everybody found it. We had about 10 participants. It was a lot of fun. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. We started about 9:15, 9:30, somewhere in there. And we were done by noon. And Andy and Rich found both of them first, so they can have the honor of planning the next hunt. And I think Bree and Nick found the next, that they were the next two to find both of them. So it was a good time. Like I said, there was about 10 of us there, and then we enjoyed a lunch together, and that was it. And I look forward to the next one. I think that's about all I got. N2NAR.
Well, kudos to you for coming up with another twist to it. Shoot, I don't think I'd have ever even thought of that. So that's neat. That's makes it more of a scavenger hunt kind of thing. There's an interesting twist for us. Anyway, you get too far, it sounds like work. But anyway, I'm glad you guys all had a good time. KN4SPL, Bob, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
And 7IVV from KN4SPL. Actually, I was no comment, but no big deal. Not a whole lot going on in the ham world for me lately. I'm just busy with other projects. Sorry I missed the fox hunt. Sounds like it would have been a pretty good time. So that's really all I got. And Brad, I will get with you shortly. I know you need that extra circuit run in your house, so I'll be getting together with you soon and get a route figured out. Anyway, that's all I got. KN4SPL, back to net.
Oh, okay, Bob. Thanks. Sorry I missed the... Well, you were doubling with somebody, so I was having a hard time pulling you out anyway. But anyway, well, good. Yeah, we'll get together. No big rush on it. I'm not running that second air conditioner plugged into the 15-amp circuit, so everything is good there. Andy, K1RA, I guess you got the Kraken. Tell us how your morning went. 10-7-IVB.
Good evening, Brad, and everyone on the net. I think Ron covered everything about the your toroidal question. I guess the only thing I'd add is that, of course, you've got toroid cores. You've also got the axial rod ferrite cores. And the magnetic fields that are generated and how they look. Emanating from each of those cores is slightly different. I'll let you do a quick Google on magnetic fields and rod versus toroidal to see the difference. But anyway, good topic there. Yes, thank you, Mike, and to NAR for sponsoring this Fox Hunt. It was a lot of fun. Great weather, good twist on the event, and great to end at Foster's, because I think we must have hung out at Foster's for another hour, all of us at the big table eating and exchanging other stories, etc. So even my wife Amy and daughter Anna came over as well. So good turnout. Yeah, regarding the Kraken, what have I had it for 2 months now sitting on the shelf? I had mentioned I'd used it for an SDR trunk receiver to listen to some of the P25 traffic back maybe a month ago before I could get the actual Raspberry Pi 4 image, which hadn't been quite published yet. So as all ham projects go, you leave it to like the night or the day or two before an event to start building it. And I guess it started by me running out to my friend Terry's house in Haymarket, who has his antenna business, and said, hey, Terry, you know, I need to make an antenna mount for 5 antennas. We came up with a pretty good idea of using 1-inch by 2-foot long aluminum strips to make a star. At the end of each star, we put an SMA connector for antennas, and he gave me some SMA connectors. I had some RG58, made 5 identical pieces to run them to the Kraken. Has 5 antenna ports, and ran the Pi, followed some directions, brought up my web browser, made a Wi-Fi hotspot, and magically things came up relatively easily as far as getting everything online. Mike, if you would be kind enough to at least post something to Groups.io, maybe the roster of who showed up, I will tag a photo album of some pictures of what this all looks like, and maybe a couple pictures of what the app looked like that my dad and I were looking at on the phone. But essentially, as the YouTube video showed, it's almost as easy as hitting a button, say go, start tracking, and if you want to turn on optional driving directions, and go. So as Mike said, we got to the first one relatively quickly, and I think he and his wife Christina were really kind of worried that the Fox Hunt might be over too quickly. But it took others longer to find it, so we weren't sitting around for 2 hours waiting for Foster's to open. I must say that lessons learned, I'd gone out the night before with this, driving around town, looked for the only station really that was on the air all the time, so I picked WTOP, or WWWT, up on the mountain on 107.7, and it was a horrible test. Of course, they run 20 kilowatts, and the little RTL dongles were totally overloaded, even at the lowest gain. So I think it directed me to somewhere like in Main Street. Your transmitter is on the right, and of course it wasn't. So there's definitely some setting issues and gain and squelch thresholds. There is no audio receiver, so one of the downsides to this is you can't hear the beacon going on and off. There are some visual indicators you can use, and I'll post some of that later on after. Those who have their Krakens, and I was a little sad or disappointed to see that I think there's 3 or 4 other people in the club who bought them, Justin, NB3A, John AK4GG, I think Mike TEK, who else? Anyway, one or two others, and they weren't there, so I'm not going to share all my secrets of trials and tribulations, lessons learned yet, so they can figure it out and on their own. But it was a lot of fun. I would say for the second Fox, it was a little bit harder to find. We got in the parking lot with my dad, and we walked around for a long time with the HT trying to find the hiding place. So Kraken was good for getting in the general vicinity, but it's not something you can walk with, and still have to rely on some of the old techniques that we use with loops or no antennas on the radio and using your body as a shield to find nulls and all that good stuff. So. Anyway, I look forward to running the next one. It'll probably be in the spring. I don't think we'll squeeze one in before wintertime, but we shall see. That's it. Back to net control. K1RA.
Well, thanks, Andy, for that information. I look forward to seeing this beast. So hopefully between now and later, we can have... Probably ought to plan a club meeting where we can play with them, look at them, play with them, go ooh-ah, and then whatnot. Sounds to me like it's a device that... would lend itself more to a team, at least two people, but probably three, you know, the usual triangulation, and then maybe even, you know, have one or two people actually on the ground with the, anyway, it obviously becomes a different type of activity that way, but hey, what the heck. It's always fun to think about new ideas, but then when it comes down to actually doing it, it's like, okay, keep it simple, stupid. Anyway, thanks for that information. KM4OZH, I'm assuming you made it there this morning, and tell us how your day went. Go ahead.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Brad, and everybody on the net. Let's see, well, I'll start off here with, this weekend has been an eating out weekend, so we had breakfast there Saturday morning, which was a good turnout for the first time for a while back at the Bistro, and then at the end of the Fox Hunt had a great lunch at Foster's, so anything's better than me cooking for myself, so want to thank Mike and to NAR for an excellent job, and the hiding places were great and so forth. I guess my lack of experience, I overrun. I would take a reading and then I would overrun it, and the next thing I do on my next stop would be turn around and go back, and I didn't seem to through the whole thing didn't seem to learn that, but maybe next time. So anyway, but I had a great time, and luckily the weather was good. It was all good. And so let's see here. So the other thing is got new to me, a new computer, new to me from Andy, K1RA. And so now I'll be working on setting up FT8 in the mobile for a rover for contesting. Good luck to me. KM4OZH, back to net.
Okay, well, that sounds fun. As usual, I'll have kinds of stuff to do. Thanks for the report, Gil. K4MYL, I didn't catch that you were in and out, so I'm assuming you want to at least say hi tonight. Again, congratulations on the new call at 7IVV. Go ahead.
Yeah, she was in and out, Brett. Sorry, K2PI.
Okay, thanks for the update. In that case, we'll go to Steve, WDAQCN, at 7IVV.
7IVV in the net, WDAQCN. Good evening. Thanks, Brad, for taking the net tonight. And thanks to all the other net controls out there. And I hope we can get a few more volunteers to cover the holes. Sorry, I wasn't around much this past week there to cover holes on Sunday or Wednesday. It was revival week at church, plus I've got the new job going here, which requires me to be on site. I was working remote from home for the last 2 years plus here, and that is sadly no longer the case, but I don't mind it as much because the commute's not bad. It's about 5 to 10 minutes on a bad day here, so can't complain about that. Just not near the radio as often. Other than that, I think everything's been said on the transformer, except maybe the fact that toroids and various ferrite cores are often optimized for particular frequency ranges, so be aware of that when picking out cores for your next project. Other than that, not too much going on. Have not been very active on radio this past week here. I guess maybe last Saturday, I think it was, I did work that EP5 station, so finally picked them up. That's about it. Back to you, Brad, N7IVV in the net from WD8QCN.
Okay, very good, Steve. Yeah, you and Sippy, I guess, need to put your heads together and see what can be done to transition the whole MEP operations over as we start the new year, the new board, and everything. KO4VNZ. Chuck, go ahead.
N7IVV. This is KO4VNZ. Hi, Brad, and the rest of the net. Since it's been more than a week since we've had a network, I got all kinds of things I've done. It's been pretty busy. I added EchoLink to my cell phone, so I would be ready in case my HT failed when we did the Great Pumpkin Ride. And I had a great time playing that control for the Pumpkin Ride. And I'll start getting, I got got a few T-shirts out of that. Now I'm going to be getting them out to the people who participated in that. And let's see, in addition to that, let's see what else. I was part of the breakfast yesterday, and that was really great. It's got to be the biggest turnout for a breakfast since I've been with the club. So I really enjoyed that. I got to play today on the Fox Hunt, besides seeing Andy's Kraken and Raspberry Pi set up and all on his antenna set up, which was really great. I had a great time riding all around chasing the foxes. I can't say that I found either fox. I got very close to the fox at Wharf, and so close I didn't have a good attenuator, and I made the mistake. I was detuning my radio to try and attenuate it some, and I think I picked up the second fox then, and so before I found the first fox, I headed off towards the second fox, and I must have passed the second fox five or six times before I somehow I ended back up at the wharf looking there again, and we ran out of time. It was lunchtime, so I just fed everyone there, and we had a great lunch. Gosh, it's been a long week. I'm trying to think what else I've done. The pumpkin ride, breakfast, fox hunt, seeing Andy's Kraken and his antennas. I guess only on a personal note, I finally got the stitches out of my back, and the biopsy was negative, so I'm good to go on that lump I had removed. And the rest of the week I've been busy with the election board, helping with early elections, early voting. And so I'm looking.
Hey, you timed it out there, Chuck. We got 90% of what you said there, though. Sounds like you're busy, and that's good. So thanks for checking in with us tonight. I wondered why I hadn't heard from you. I was offering my equipment to you because I knew I wouldn't be able to make it this morning. So, oh well, next spring. Let's see, where are we here? KQ4CBF, Mark, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
Good evening, Brad, and everyone on the net. We're doing well. Had a good time today at the fox hunt. This is only the second time we've participated in one, and thanks to Mike and Christina for hiding the foxes and running that part of it. It was a scenic drive from Akakee Creek here in Stafford, Virginia, about an hour out there, and we were pretty amazed. We hadn't been to Warrenton in quite a while, so there's been quite a bit of growth since we were out there last. We learned a lot again today. Want to thank Rich for his third harmonic tip, and Nick for his getting me straight on which direction on the loop is the null, and the oatmeal container covered in aluminum foil is an interesting technique. I don't know if we're going to implement that or not, but you know, it was nice. We learned a lot and met some really good people, and we enjoyed it. Back to net.
Okay, Mark. Well, thanks for coming up today. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We'll have to do it again sometime. I've been talking to David and Katie, and I might try to do some cross-pollinization. I'm assuming you're a member of the Stafford Club. If not, you might want to get in touch with K4TER or N7RCE. Because I know that they're, well, N7RCE is the president down there, and trying to get that up and running, and they need some people who are excited about PAM stuff. Anyway, Randy, thanks for checking in tonight. Hope things are going okay for you. And Janice, KN4MLX, I don't know if you were in and out. I had the feeling you were out, but if you're not, then go ahead, N7IVB. Okay, we'll call that one an out. Thanks for checking in, everybody. Any other check-ins or rechecks tonight, go ahead.
This is K1HTV, A3FR with a recheck. Delta 4, Romeo Echo Echo.
Okay, Rich, gotcha. And Ron got your recheck. And Simi, give me your prefix again, please.
Yeah, it's Kilo Delta 4.
There we go. I was going through the whole alphabet and still wasn't quite remembering it. Okay, great. Thanks for checking in tonight. Rich, Rich, K1HTV, go ahead.
Brad, good evening all. This is K1HTV. Fell asleep in the chair for the first 15 minutes of the net. Was up since 5 o'clock this morning and ran out of steam, but had a great time. Enjoyed the breakfast Saturday. Good to see some of the guys at the bistro. Hope the crowd will continue gathering every last Saturday of the month there, and it was a good time there. enjoyed the Fox Hunt. Thanks to Mike and Christina for getting the double Fox Hunt going, the surprise second Fox. It was fun to you know, see the Kraken in use. It was a great device. But, of course, the last part of it, especially the second one, I found the easiest way was to use the Bofang, take the antenna off, and keep the finger over the very close to the antenna port, the little SMA connector, just enough to couple a small amount of signal in as we got close. Kept driving round and around the Fosters and the Burger King, trying to find find the Fox. Eventually, we were hovering around, walking around this big bush, ratty-looking bush, and Andy finally said, "All right, find the null." So I just put the radio in front of me, went in a circle, and he said, "Well, the null is behind me." So we walked straight to the little box where, like a newspaper box, opened the door, and sure enough, there it was, 10 feet behind me. So that trick worked out very well. So I enjoyed it very much, and then, of course, a great meal over at in camaraderie over at the Foster's Grill for lunch. When I got home, I did some work getting ready to install the stack match on the tower. I have the phasing line cut. Stack match will combine 2 6-meter Yagis, which Andy was up on the tower putting up last Saturday with the help of WHZN. So those Yagis are ready. The coaxes are down. The stack match box goes on as soon as I get a cable from Amazon. I did get a order a cable, and it came in an empty bag. It had a slit in it, so they reshipped it, and I should be here tomorrow. And on the DX news, the TY0RU de-expedition crew has moved to from Benin to the country of Togo. And the call they're using now is 5 Victor 7 Radio United, 5E7RU. So looking for them from Togo. They were on 15 and working quite easily. There's a phone DX contest going on. Worked only 2 stations. Worked a station in Samoa and one in New Zealand. Then I went back to doing some work. Finally, worked my 323rd digital country this afternoon. The expedition to Christmas Island, VK9 Charlie Mike, came on the air. They'll be on there for a good week plus. Christmas Island is located 1,600 miles northwest of Perth, Australia, in the Indian Ocean. We had an opening late afternoon, and I was able to work on an FP8 for country 323 on the digital mode. That's about it for now. Back to net control. This is K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, thanks, and thanks for the DX news. I'm going to turn my radio on and see if I can work some of those guys. KD4REE, how goes the studying tonight? Go ahead, Simi.
It's fine. I finished up some homework and need to do some more, but at least it's fairly easy. It's just computer programming or point and click instead of writing computer code. On the topic of DX, I heard some Canadian stations during the CC Worldwide sideband contest, so that was interesting. Heard a lot of stations on 10 meters. Didn't get a chance to listen a whole lot, but the bands were pretty active, even on 160 meters. That's all I have. Nothing else new going on, so talk to you, Brad, from KD4REE.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks for checking in with us tonight. Good to hear from you always. K3FR, Ron, go ahead.
Okay, this is K3FR. Just fine-tune the toroid information there. As Andy indicated, the flux lines, different arrangement between, let me call them linear cores as opposed to toroids. In the linear cores, the magnetic flux lines come off the ends of the core, the rod core, and they go out into space, basically out to infinity, and are broken there. So we lose a fair amount of efficiency at that point. Whereas in a toroid, the magnetic flux lines are confined to the core of the toroid and fairly close to the toroid. That's why you can stack toroids a lot, very close to each other, and they won't couple like cylindrically wound or coils would do. Coupling is minimized and the efficiency is increased, and that's basically it. There's some talk about eddy currents and stuff, which is where you talk about the different mixes and whether you talk about a solid metallic core like you would have in an AC transformer, and a few other things like that impact how an inductance and particularly in a transformer configurations behave. And 7IVV K3FR.
Okay, Ron, well, thanks for that clarification. I kind of figured it was something like that. I just wasn't using the right terminology. And, of course, the flux lines, for those of us that ever played with it in high school and beyond, you know, if you get that powdered iron and then just put a straight bar magnet down, you get that kind of curl the flux lines around most of it, and they kind of, you know, at the very ends they go straight, and that was always real interesting, and I guess that, of course, that's with a magnet, but anyway, great, thanks for the clarification, I appreciate it. Thanks everybody tonight for the information, the reports, and just the general presence here tonight. It was good to have y'all with us. And this is N7IVB for the Farinet. Thanks everybody tonight, and if anybody has any, would like some more information about tonight's discussion or information about FARA in general, you can see our website at w4va.org, and of course you can send an email to farinet@w4va.org. Stand by. Okay, this is N7IVV closing the Farinet and returning the repeater to normal use. Have a good evening and a nominal tomorrow.
K1HTV, K1RA.
K1RA, K1HTV. Did I see my note about the computer?
I did. I gave a couple suggestions, so maybe give those a try. Could be a hardware issue. There might be some things that we could, might be memory test, but maybe hard disk related. Hey, what I didn't put in the email was after I cleaned out my car and took all the parts and pieces out from the Voxon, I still have your, some of the whip antennas that you brought along, so. If you come through this week and you want to pick them up in the usual pickup spot, they're on the bench. Otherwise, next time I see you, I'll drop them off. But the two Nagoyas and the other two UV5 antennas.
You're going to go with the new ones you're getting from Amazon, those collapsibles?
Actually, so those were supposed to come yesterday, and they didn't. And now it doesn't look like they're going to come until next week. They went from New Jersey out to Louisville, Kentucky today for whatever reason. Those are the collapsibles. I also ordered some shorty rubber ducks that have male SMAs on the end. Those came in today. And they're a little bit shorter, and they're tuned, well, I don't know that they're tuned for anything. They're inefficient antennas. But, the plan is to use those instead of the LTE.